All right. Let's call this meeting to order. This is the City of Unalaska Historic Preservation Commission regular meeting. It's Thursday, October 19th, 2023. It's 6 p.m. Can I please get a roll call?
All right, Williams?
Here.
Swangle?
Present.
Marquez is absent. Bagley?
Here.
Hatfield?
Here.
Humka?
Here.
And Dean?
Here.
Okay, you have a quorum.
All right, thank you. We have the agenda here in front of us tonight. Is there any revisions or additions to the agenda?
No revisions or additions to the agenda.
Okay, hearing none. Appearance request, again, is there anybody online for tonight's meeting for the historic preservation?
There's no one online for this meeting.
Okay, thank you. Are there any announcements in the community or anything pertinent to what we've got going on?
Cameron Dean is here. He's the planning director. I don't know if there's any other announcements. There's nothing I can think of.
Okay. Good to see you all again.
Hey,
glad to be back.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Good to see you too.
Oh, the planning department is interviewing people for our admin assistant position. And we will hopefully have a decision next week as to who that will be.
Don't forget to call the city and let them know who you're taking to dinner for Christmas dinner.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah, city Christmas party is the evening of December 2nd. So let us know if you can come and if you have a plus one.
Christmas party. All right. Thank you for that. And yeah, I think everybody can be here for Christmas. Okay, the minutes were included in the packet from February 16th and August 17th of 23. A little house cleaning there. Can I get a motion and a second to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes February 16th. February 16th and August 17th meetings.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any repairs we need to make here to these minutes? Everything looks fine from what I saw. Okay, hearing none. All in favor of approving minutes? Aye. Say aye.
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 All right, minutes are approved. Thank you. Public hearing. There's nothing here this evening with this. Nothing in old business. Nothing new business. We just have the one work session item. It's a letter from Benjamin M. Story, Regional Environmental Manager, PQI Archaeology at the Alaska State Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, South Coast Region, regarding finding of effect for the demolition of the privately owned Naval Operating Transport Service Warehouse located within the Unalaska Airport in Unalaska. So I believe this is just a discussion item on the included letter. I was curious if there's any action. I mean, will this go to the council or what's...
Okay, the summary of this is basically there is a tenant who is looking to build a hangar on the same area of the airport that this building is. You are probably familiar with it, but it is the old Pan Air hangar. Cargo building. Gold Streak. So it's that building that's across the little driveway from the World War II Museum. It used to be behind the Torpedo Museum. So you can see it here in this image. I'm kind of circling it with the mouse. And then here's the exterior kind of image of it. So as you can see, it's in pretty rough shape. This building's, been neglected for a considerable amount of time. And in order to make room for a future hangar, they would like to tear this building down. It Something to, I guess, consider is that it is one of four remaining buildings of the World War II era that belong to the airport. Those being the hangar, the big cement hangar by the Tundra Drive, the World War II Museum, this building here, and the Northport Rentals and Ace Cargo building next door. But as you can see from kind of these interior shots, this building definitely has some serious and significant issues with it that impact its real, you know, its value at this time, and really any chance of renovating and repairing this building. So I think it's up to you guys if you would like to make a recommendation for a statement regarding the building, whether you approve of the demolition or you disapprove of the demolition. This is really your chance to kind of say if you believe that it has any continued ongoing historical significance that makes it worth saving. In this case, we would then make a recommendation to the state that the building be moved. It likely will not end up being moved. The state will likely end up just demolishing it and moving on. But this is your chance to make comment on, and if you'd like to put together a formal letter of response.
Thank you, Thomas. I'm just going to go down the line here. Jenny, if you want, we forgot our other member here. Mr. City Manager, do you have any comments?
I just wanted to remind us that in the page 8, we're one of seven agencies or organizations that have been consulted, mm-hmm. and it's really all it is. It's a formality that they do. Mm-hmm. It's a private project, it's private property. There's really nothing, there's no federal or state money involved. That preservation comes down to the local level, and we don't have that kind of an ordinance. Mm-hmm. And even if we did, I'd rather than just prevent people from doing something, we'd want to be proactive. Mm-hmm. That's the trouble we're having here. It's not, we don't have that kind of an ordinance, and we don't have a lot of reuse options. Doesn't mean we don't value it, but just wanted to point out that it's a little different than like when we were talking about the old terminal and the airport master plan, because there's money involved in that, you know, federal money, that we could have more teeth about what to do with that. And remember, they were proposing to put it on other property owners' property without consult. This is a little different, and I just wanted to point that out.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Commissioner Hatfield?
Thank you. I think it's good to move forward with this building going away. It's one of several buildings that was part, as you know, it's a very nice report that I enjoyed reading. And it does look like it's really not a very interesting component of the National Historic Landmark that is the Dutch Harbor Naval Air Base. And I think it's a good thing to do and to move forward. The one building there that is of interest is, of course, that aerology building. And I think it's what would represent that history the best and the most. And so I'm fine with this notice.
Yeah, thank you. All right, Commissioner Williams.
I agree. I think we need to get take that building down because it's rotting and it's falling apart. And it's going to start breaking vehicle windows that are parked in the parking lot and also the World War II Center windows. So I think it would be safe to, you know, that for everyone if it's taken down before it can cause damage.
I agree. Thanks. Commissioner Bagley, sir.
Yeah, I think it just needs to go away. I don't really have a whole lot to say about it. I mean, no reason to elaborate if we all agree. So,
Thank you. Personally, I'm in concurrence with you guys. I personally feel that property is in a very desirable location. in order to keep our community viable. You know, the air transportation sector is obviously the heart and soul of this community as far as transportation needs. So I feel that that area there in particular is would serve the community a lot better by letting just this kind of natural attrition of growth and this I think this planned hangar and facility could offer a diversified or just maybe an updated you know version I guess of air transportation needs there. So whatever that that ends up being, I think it's probably going to be a a benefit rather than the building that's there. I'm glad we get an opportunity to at least review this thing before it gets torn down, or at least put in our two cents. But I do feel that the historical value is pretty limited with this particular structure. So, yeah, go ahead.
Was there a time period for us to respond by? This is dated September 21st. So I'm assuming we're within, like usually it's 30 or 45 days.
We did let them know that we would be having a meeting in October and that there would be a response.
Okay. Just I think it's good to have a response from the chairman of the Planning Commission saying that we don't oppose it, so that they don't always just hear from us when we're wanting to save something.
Going to complain
never
about
anything
something.
Good, right? So it's a, one of those good feel-good letters we should respond with so they know we looked.
No, I agree. I think in kind, they've this is great that you guys provided us with this information and they wrote the letter. And yeah, I appreciate that opportunity. So I agree with you.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions or comments regarding the letter? From Mr. Benjamin Story. Okay, so hearing none, then do we need to make a formality of their letter? No? Okay. But we're all in support of it, basically. All right, with that, we have worked through all the items on tonight's agenda. We'll consider this meeting adjourned. It is 6:13 p.m. Thank you.
Hey, everybody online, we're just troubleshooting something right now, so we'll let you guys know when the meeting starts again.
You're in the right meeting, Larissa. Thank you for joining us again.
Okay, I think we've solved all of our technical issues. Everything seems to be squared away. We're ready when you are.
Okay. Are you guys all ready? Okay.
Yep.
All right. Let's call this meeting to order. This is the City of Unalaska Planning Commission, Planning Board, regular meeting. It's Thursday, October 19th, 2023. 6:30 p.m. Can I please get a roll call?
Here. Williams? Swangle?
Here.
Here.
No Marquez. Bagley?
Here.
And Hatfield?
Here.
Okay, you have a quorum.
We have a quorum. Thank you. Okay, we have the agenda here in front of us. Is there any revisions or corrections to the agenda?
No revisions or corrections.
All right, hearing none from anybody. Parents request, I believe we have Mr. Mahoney on the phone and Larissa Syverson.
Yep, and in the audience you also have Matt Scott and Denise Rankin.
All righty, thank you. Welcome everybody. Appreciate you guys attending tonight. Under announcements, we'd like to welcome back Cameron Dean as our newly hired director of planning. And welcome back.
Thanks, glad to be back.
I believe too that the Christmas party it's on December 2nd?
Yeah, December 2nd. We're hiring an admin assistant, as mentioned. The only other new news from the last meeting, CMMP time is coming around again, so you can expect a meeting coming soon to be looking over a draft of that.
All right, thank you for that, Cameron. Anybody else got anything? Any other announcements? Okay. Moving on. The minutes from the August 17th, 2023 meeting were included. Hopefully everybody's had a chance to glance over those. Is there any corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, in opposition, we'll consider the minutes approved. Thank you. Under our public hearing, item number one tonight, who has resolution 2023-07, a resolution approving a conditional use permit for a cellular tower on lot zoned high density residential on a leased portion of tract A, block 6. I'll probably butcher this word. I think it's Ilulac subdivision. Does that sound close enough? Thank you. All right. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak up on this. They will also have another opportunity when we get to the new business item. Does anybody wish to speak on this item currently? I guess it would be to Tim. Do you want to just wait till we get to the new business item?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. All right. So hearing none, under the public hearing, we'll move on to the new business item number one. Again, resolution 2023-07, a resolution approving a conditional use permit for a cellular tower on a lot zoned high density residential on the leased portion of tract A, block 6, Ilulac subdivision. Can I get a motion and a second to adopt this resolution?
Motion.
Second.
It's moved and seconded. Thank you. Staff, do we want to have a little background on this?
Okay, so you're seeing this come up again because of a letter from the Unalashka Corporation to the Planning Commission regarding the siting that was approved at the previous August meeting. Sorry, at the previous... June meeting. The at the previous August meeting, Planning Commission came back and reviewed that letter and decided it was more appropriate to review the original site again rather than make that application wait for another 6-8 months. So where we stand on this is the original location of the cell tower. Taking a look at our notes and important points here is that the tower is set for a location on the lot where a portion of the 10,000 square foot lease area, because we treat our lease lots like actual property, so that it has those minimums, is taken up by a portion of easement that exists on that parcel already. So this is out on Standard Oil Hill. That easement was formerly a road that connected Chernofsky and Delta Way. It was a kind of crossway through there. There are a few things to consider that usually come up as questions. The tower itself is proposed for 41 feet. It is outside of the standard 1.1 fall area that is used in other sections of code regarding wind turbines. And it is actually almost more than 1.5 times the distance for the fall zone. So if there's ever any problem with the tower, it is well within typical safety limits. The use of a cell tower in this area is being identified as appropriate under a utility building, including a telephone exchange, which is a little bit different. That's old 90s, capabilities, but we're kind of reinterpreting for more modern era. And then furthermore, if you look at the code requirements for conditional uses, specifically number 4, it would be public and quasi-public buildings essential to the physical and economic welfare of the area, such as utility buildings and facilities, fire stations, electric substations, water treatment plants, telephone exchanges, and similar uses or public services. So as we see this, this is a very similar use. Is a cell service is a not legally a utility in the state of Alaska, but it operates very much the same as a utility as would be expected. And on top of that, it is pretty much essential to modern economic welfare of a community. Like, this is a pretty standard part of our everyday lives now. So there are a couple of things to be aware of. 5G was not planned for the tower. Even if it had been, according to the Telecommunications Act of 1996, as long as a antenna is rated for and licensed, it is considered safe, and the perceived detriment to the environment or to people's health or whatever, as long as it is meeting those licensed requirements and it is being constructed in such a way that it is not encountered outside of those licensed requirements, is safe. And that is not something that you can judge as a reason not to allow the cell tower to be constructed. Similarly, there was an earlier argument about 5G cellular service being introduced during COVID and therefore not properly tested. 5G predates COVID by 11 years. So this is not something that hasn't had immense amounts of study and in the last decade. This is not some magic new technology that came out of the blue yesterday. This is, been studied and is pretty well established. And then additionally, as you've seen your packet, there are 2 additional guides, human exposure to radio frequency fields, guidelines for cellular antenna sites, and wireless devices and health concerns. So that kind of covers those areas. The other item is that you cannot judge the cell tower by the number of customers that the company may have. Any type of limiting of competition is not allowable under the Telecommunications Act. So whether or not Optumera has however many customers compared to GCI or TelAlaska or anybody else should not factor into your decision. Okay. As staff has reviewed, There is a cell tower in a neighboring area further up the street on Driftwood. We have looked at these before in relatively residential areas. There's one on top of Haystack, which is surrounded by residential property. The area on Lear Road, where the water tank is surrounded by single-family duplex residential, and there's several towers up there. So this is not something that's entirely out of place in residential areas in our community. So going through our kind of sections of code specifically in our detailed findings, we have found that it meets all of those requirements for our findings. This is up to you guys if you would like to attach conditions to the tower, and in order to, you know, if you feel like that might help mitigate the impacts to the area. And then additionally, we do have several letters to read for you guys from neighboring property owners. And we also have the property owner on the line. We have a neighboring property owner on the line and the applicant in the audience as well. So there's plenty of room for conversation here. I think it's appropriate to get started by reading our letters first. But
yeah, we could do that. Should I read or do you want to read it?
So I have a letter here, and I got to switch my sharing. Give me one second.
Are these new letters or just the same ones we've read every single time?
I actually have a new letter here from Carl and Marie that actually came in just before the meeting started.
Oh, got it.
Which I know is really small up on the screen. I'm trying to make that readable. Yeah. All right. Okay, so this is from Marie Mahalik. It says, "Hello, Thomas. This is Carl and Marie Mahalik. We own the house at 420 Bjorka Drive, and this proposed cell tower would be very close to our home. We think Sherry and Pete Doctor have a really good reasons why this tower should not be on the proposed spot, and we are totally supporting them. Please reconsider and build the tower in a non-residential area. Thank you for your time, Marie and Carl Mahalik." And their phone number is included. Our second letter is from Sherry Doctor, and it reads as follows. Is that readable up there? Good. Good morning. I am writing in response to a resolution to erect a 40-foot cell tower right next to my house, basically in my backyard. We are located directly next to the building site, 101 Chernovsky. We are in opposition to the structure for numerous reasons. The location is on Standard Oil Hill in a densely populated neighborhood. I feel the tower should not be constructed in a residential neighborhood. There's plenty of vacant land that would be better suited for enormous and potentially dangerous structure. Number two, the location is barely 40 feet from our home. We already have a tsunami siren within 15 feet of our home. And number three is that research suggests that there are health risks from close proximity to radio frequency transmittals. I have also added the names of homeowners near the site who oppose building of the cell tower and have approved the writing of this letter. Respectfully, Pete and Sherry and Pete Doctor of 101 Chernovsky, James and Pamela Gilman of 113-115 Chernovsky, Sergey Rohrbach of 438 Bjorka Drive and 500 and 502 Bjorka Drive, Danny Nguyen, 112 and 114 Kashiga, Jeff Garth of 114 Chernovsky, and Casey O'Hara of 143 and 145. In addition, she did follow up with us to make sure that we did read this letter again, and that letter reads, "Hello, Mr. Dean. I'm forwarding you this letter written to the Planning Commission for the April meeting regarding the proposed cell tower site for the cell tower next to my house on Standard Oil Hill. I've also sent it to Thomas Rufos. Thank you for your time, or thank you and welcome." So that letter was to be read out. So I will close those two out. And that is correspondence that we have regarding this topic.
Thank you, Thomas. with that, I think we'll just carry this on, and we'll hit up Mr. Mahoney. He's on the phone. Tim, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead. Thank you, Mr. Mahoney. Appreciate your testimony. There's nobody else right on this as far as public comment or
Larissa Syverson is on the line.
Okay. I didn't know if she was just represented. Larissa, can you hear us okay? Go ahead if you
yes,
have.
I can hear you guys just fine.
Yeah, okay. Did you want to say anything now? Any comments or questions?
I just wanted to thank you guys for all the research you've done and for bringing this to vote again. I know it's been a while and we've been waiting to see it come to a vote, so thank you for all your hard work.
Yeah, thank you for your patience here and bearing with us. We'd like to speak? Okay.
No, I have no further comments.
Thank you, Larissa.
And I think we've kind of talked this one out quite extensively, so thank you.
Thanks, Larissa. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Denise Rankin, president for the Unalashka Corporation. And while I respect what people have said in their letters and comments, as the landowner and with our leasing team and lands team, we looked hard at where we could put this tower. It definitely was probably not our first choice because we had considered putting apartment buildings on that location. However, after speaking to the proposed tenant, there was safety concerns because not all of the calls could be reached in APL or CMA and Matson in that lower area. So for the concern of people in that area working, we thought this would be a good location, considering there was already a tsunami tower in that location. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise. Well, I'm just going to go down the line here again with you guys. Go ahead, Jenny.
Thank you, Travis. I'm in support of this location. I feel like it would disenfranchise some users of that service, and sounds like it's a safety issue too, which I know they're getting E911 up and running for the city, and we certainly want people to be able to be found with their cell phones. There aren't any health, any known health risks, as Thomas eloquently pointed out, and in the literature as well, so I'm in favor of this.
Thank you. Caroline?
I don't have anything to say because I'm not for it. So,
okay. right. Fair enough. Mr. Bagley?
So I guess my opinion on this all, it just really comes down to four things. You know, first I want to ask myself, is there a physical safety hazard? So my opinion also comes from the fact that I lived for 5 years in that house at 420 Bjorka Drive. So I actually lived closer than anyone that's complaining about this would have lived. If I still live there, my opinion would be, is there physical safety hazard as far as falls? And if we're 1.5 times within that code, and we need to be 1.1 times, I think is what we said earlier. Is that right?
Yes, that actually doesn't even apply to cell phones, but that's the closest relative thing that we actually have in our code as a guideline.
So if we can check that box, then we're good on the physical hazard side. The next thing I'd want to look at is there vacant land available anywhere else in the area? And I feel like we just had a representative up here say that they looked all over the place in that area to find some other place. I know Matt looked different places. We've talked about this a couple different times, and there was nothing available, and this is what people requested for more cell phone service. So I feel like that checks that box. This is the only place in the area that is available to put it. The next thing I would look at is, does this tower meet all guidelines for FCC RF frequency exposure for high density residential? And Matt, does it meet all those guidelines? And we've got paperwork to support it. Okay, that checks that box. And then the other thing I want to look at is it really going to affect property value in that area? I think a lot of people are going to have a lot of different opinions, but my opinion is no. Standard Oil Hill is a fairly industrial area. We've already got a tsunami siren there. We've got the Matson Yard down there. They're shuffling 40-foot containers. We've got the Delta Western fuel dock right there. We've got trucks coming in and out of there. So I don't think that this is going to, and we got the powerhouse just down the street. So as far as saying that putting up a tower with all this other industrial activity is going to drop the property value, I don't really buy that one. So I'm in favor of this. I don't really see anything facts wise that can say otherwise, and if there is, then I could listen to it, but I, as of right now, that's what I've got.
Thank you, Commissioner Bagley. My two cents. I appreciate that the landowner took the time, or I guess, we tried to see if they would consider a different location. So, the applicant was open to it, but in the end, the landowner, it's their land. So if they don't want to put it in a different location, I guess we can't. It's hard to argue with that. And some of the reasons of not wanting the tower, even though some of them I am sympathetic to, were presented here with a lot of information that we would call facts. And so, as far as, I appreciate staff putting in the extra paperwork in there relating to RF frequencies and also the Telecommunications Act. It was great to kind of have that there to clarify. And we've already allowed AT&T to have a cell tower, communications tower, and basically the other end of the neighborhood. And I feel like by opposing this, we'd be discriminating against them, sort of in a manner. Standard Oil Hill, I look at it, the top of that section is all residential. And in order for this company to be able to cover that area, they need to put in another tower. This tower is not really that big. I started really looking at the specs on it. It's actually only like 30 something feet tall. When you put it on top of the pedestal, it looks like it comes to the total height. And it's kind of a smaller diameter. The size of it doesn't look like it's really that big. I think our natural instinct is of like, oh God, a tower, and we have this like vision in our head of this big monstrosity. But really looking at this thing, it's actually quite small. With that being said, I'm going to have to support this just based on the facts. But I would encourage members of the community to take this opportunity if they really feel this strongly against it, that they can appeal this. And so I guess that leads me to the question of, if someone from the public wants to appeal this, how many days do they have to file for an appeal?
So they have 10 days to file that appeal by writing a letter to the city clerk.
10 business days.
10 business days, sorry.
Okay. I was trying to find a section in here where I thought the FCC had something like 30 days, but I don't know if that's, if ours overrides that, or maybe if I read it wrong, but just wanted to make sure people are well aware of how much time they have to get that filed. So
that FCC is in the event that if you were to vote no for the applicant to appeal directly to the FCC. There is the intermediate step of the appeal to the city council without having to take that federal jump.
Thank you. So since my term being on here, we've had one appeal, and it was a telephone tower. So, I'm sympathetic. I'm a homeowner here myself, and I get it. You know, I live, of course, below the largest collection of cell phone towers on the island, but I just want to be clear that the homeowners do have one more option to discuss this in a larger light, I guess you might say, at the council level. So anyways, I'd like to encourage them to do that if they feel they need to. So does anybody else have any questions or comments? Would the applicant like to say anything? Okay. Anybody have any questions for Matt? No? All right. Well, I guess we probably call the question. All in favor of approving, sorry, I'm going to find it, resolution 2023-07, indicate by saying aye.
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 Three ayes, one nay. Motion passes. Resolution passes. Thank you.
For the record, that was Swangle, Bagley, and Hatfield, aye, and Williams, no.
Correct.
Correct.
Just want to check any other comments on the phone before we adjourn. Okay, having worked through all the items in tonight's meeting, we'll consider it adjourned. 6:56 p.m. Thank you, everyone, for coming tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Travis.
Good night, Larissa. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, Tim, if you're still there.